is?
It's about 12.
It's just after I see a movie, I like to go get a piece of pie and talk about it. It's sort of a little tradition I have. Do you like to get pie after you see a good movie?
Hello, and welcome to another movie podcast. I am Oscar, and with me today is...
Ralph.
And Luke.
And Luke, yes. I was going to go there. This is episode number 61, and for those who are joining us for the first time, what we do is we review 3 films per time. And we usually do 3 new ones or new-ish, but we're in the middle of a marathon. We'll get into that in a minute. So we'll have 2 new releases, reviews. One of them is Venom, which is out in theaters right now, the supervillain, superhero movie, kind of, starring Tom Hardy. We also have Jeremy Saulnier's latest film, which is out on Netflix right now, which stars that dude from Westworld that I just forgot his name at the moment. Anyway, it's called Hold the Dark. Were you about to say the name?
The dude from Hunger Games?
Yeah, that too. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, Westworld is more popular, so I would have gone with that anyway.
Debatable. Okay.
It's not debatable, I don't think. Maybe it is. Debatable. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to talk about those movies anymore. And we'll conclude our show with a movie from... Is it still... Are we still in the 70s, right? With this thing? I think so. Anyway, from an old film, from let's just say the 70s until we, you know, get to that review. We're going to be reviewing The Sugarland Express.
74.
Nailed it. Anyway, we're going to review those 3 films. If you want to know where you can find us in every episode we've done, besides your iTunes catcher, of course, or iPod catcher, otherpodcast.com is the website where you can find us there. We also have a bunch of other things there, like the marathons, which I alluded to earlier. Right now, we just started, but we're on the second chapter of our Steven Spielberg marathon. I think this is your pick, right, Luke?
Yes.
Awesome. So we each have four films of Spielberg's, one from each decade, and one film that we hadn't seen from his catalog. That's how we're doing it.
Personally, the person who picked.
Right. Personally, within each other, so 4 each. That's 12, and we're going in chronological order, so that way we can like see the progression of this man who is a household name. There are very few household name directors out there, and this is one of them. So that's what we're doing as far as marathon goes, and that'll just go on until we finish it. And we also have bonus episodes there. This month's bonus episode, and this is how it works, any donations comes to our show, which you can find at otherpodcast.com, goes towards the release of this episode, and it'll be Bad Times at the El Royale, which I believe Ralph and I are interested in watching. Right, Ralph?
Yes, definitely.
So we're going to do that. And then the one that came out 5 months ago, theoretically, it's Solo, a Star Wars movie, and we'll get into more Solo talk in a minute, but that was 5 months ago. That's being released out to everywhere. So that is the cue for today's show. Before we get into the main, the first review here, we're going to do recent discoveries. And Luke, you're going to start us off, and you're going to start us off with a certain Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I finally saw Solo, a Star Wars movie.
Yes. Pray tell.
I never got a chance to see it in theaters because I was in Massachusetts, so finally bought it when it came out.
You never had a single chance? It was out in theaters for like a while. I mean,
not over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What did you think?
I liked it.
You did?
I really did like it.
Well, you are also like a gigantic Star Wars nerd.
What's your point?
I was seeing if you would, you know, correct me or not.
It's still good. Regardless of the Star Wars thing.
Did you feel the need to know why he was named Solo? No, I'm just fucking with you.
Was one of Oscar's gripes with the movie.
One of many. Everyone has that gripe.
I don't know about everyone. Because obviously Luke...
Just Oscar.
No, trust me.
No, I didn't like it either. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. But.
No, well, yeah. Well, let's not spoil that review. Yeah. But I was curious, what did you like about it? I like the actor, personally.
Like, the movie in general. The whole origin story. I liked it.
This is not your first time reviewing movies. What did you like about it?
I like the effects. I like the fighting scenes.
The fighting scenes as in like actual fights?
The caper stuff? Like the train heist, for example?
Well, the heist, yeah.
Okay, I'm asking that, or is it the ship stuff?
The ship stuff was pretty cool, too.
What ship stuff?
Oh, well, I remember the castle.
When they went into the
doy. The doy. I totally forgot that part. Until right now. Okay, cool.
The castle run?
Yeah, whatever. Castle run.
12 parsecs.
Doesn't make any sense. Nothing makes sense to me in this universe. But okay. Unfortunately, it came a flop. I think they're stopping. Is that right? That I hear.
I don't know why it's such a flop. They're gonna stop. That was really good.
They're gonna stop. They're gonna
better
stop
than
making
Rogue
these,
One.
They're gonna stop making these origin stories, based on the performance of this one. That's what I heard. Did anyone hear the same?
That's gonna be the case. But no. I don't see why this one flopped. It was
I just think it's
way better than Rogue One.
I just think it's like everything else. Just too much of it.
For everything else, there's MasterCard.
There's too much going on. There's too much of it.
Not really.
Yeah.
It's not even. It's like from 2000s. It is. Look it up. You can find a commercial in 2000s where they fucking said that.
It is.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I know I'm right.
It's too much. Too much Star Wars.
It's too much Star Wars in a Star Wars movie?
No, it's too much Star Wars in general.
In general.
We're getting them too often, though.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. It'd be interesting for
I liked it
to
overall,
hear our discussion.
But that's my quick.
No, it's okay. Well, that review is coming out soon. So, solo Star Wars movie. I didn't think you would hate it. I can't imagine you would dislike any movie by Star Wars except for, I mean, you do dislike that Christmas special, right?
Never existed.
It did exist.
Nope.
It does exist. Yes, if I give you the Ludovico treatment, put a screen in front of you and show you that movie with the commercials of the original times, you will know its existence, my friend.
Nope.
Yeah, you don't want to see Chewbacca's origin story going back
never
to his home.
Never happened.
That happened. All that happened. Don't deny it.
Never.
What's your second movie? The second movie is you two hook up in, right? So what's
so the then Luke gets to start and I'll join.
We saw the My Hero Academia 2 Heroes movie, which is based off the anime show, which I just finished like the first season before watching this movie. And Ralph's been caught up onto season 3 now, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Is it like you have to know the show to enjoy it?
The movie does a good job of giving you a quick recap of what's going on. You're introduced to a lot of characters, but everything, they still do a quick recap. So you won't feel so far left behind. Like, for example, for those people that brought their girlfriends or significant others to this.
This
to
was
the
in theaters?
Actually,
you guys saw it in theaters?
We saw it in theaters, yeah. And
at the Music Box.
We saw it at the Music Box. Nice. As a matter of fact, it was sold out everywhere else to go watch this movie. Now, it was super limited release, like over a weekend.
I do know that also that the show is very popular.
I think it was from like Thursday to Tuesday. So Thursday, like only 1 week it was out.
What? Wicked reference.
Wicked reference?
Yes.
I don't get it. What'd you say?
Oh, never mind then.
I don't know what he said either.
I didn't hear what you said.
I was talking, so I didn't hear him.
I didn't hear him either.
It's okay. We'll listen back to the podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, Luke will never listen back to it, but.
Right. You know how many times I add in and just cut you out completely? Okay.
Thank God.
Anyways, the movie has to do where they go on this one island. It's all about heroes. FYI, heroes exist in this world. People with, they're called quirks.
Some would argue that they exist in here too.
80% of the world population are born with a quirk.
80% of the world?
Yeah, 80%.
Well, that's a big percentage.
It's a big one. So yeah. There's a lot of heroes, but there's a lot of people who don't make it to heroes also. To be an actual hero, like a licensed hero, you could just have a simple quirk that maybe you just help do things around, you know.
You grow plants faster.
Right, exactly.
You take fast showers.
Regardless, that's like, so they go to this on an island where they're like, there's no laws to their quirks. There's no law, you know, to their abilities. It's just all about like researching and development.
So is this about two different heroes or two similar heroes from the show?
It's two similar heroes, and it's how, what's it called? You kind of get the inside look of the most popular hero. His backstory, a little bit of his backstory, and a little bit of like, you know, what, how it catches up to him. Overall, I mean, I liked it. Even though it's predictable in those type of movies, those show movies, you know, that they make, like, you know, some stuff is going to be predictable.
Okay.
But it still worked out. The movie still manages to kind of make fun of itself. Like, there's a throwaway line that if you don't catch it, you don't catch it, where it's like, why is the villain, like, well, it's like, this is the final boss. We should all be going out. Like, all out on this guy, right?
Yeah.
And then there's also, like, this where they're like, oh, well, there's this is, you know, they mentioned something about this guy's like too easy for us to die to or something in comparison. Like they make little throwaway lines in the, and that's that they know the movie knows and we know as the moviegoers know. Like, hey, we're not going to end it here, but you know that we're going to be victorious.
How is it? I have a question.
It looked beautiful.
It seems very specific to the show. I basically had no idea what you were talking about. Yeah. So here's my question to you. You've seen other movies, animated films from shows.
I have.
Many. I've seen a few myself. How does it compare to the ones you've seen? Like the One Piece movies, the Bleach movies, the Naruto movies, you know, they all have movies. How does it compare?
It's like an extra long episode. It just drops in. You could pretty much, anywhere after like the fifth episode of the show, it could have been dropped in pretty much.
Okay.
And then anything that happened on that island, like, could have never happened at all if you never saw the movie. Because I don't think anything has been taken out of the island that, you know, would be brought into the show.
Okay, so it's just like those movies. However, how does it compare? Kind of what
I asked. I felt like it was seamless. I didn't feel like we had to do some it felt hokey at first, but it kind of combined everything. They did a good episode. They did a setup episode in the anime, setting up this movie.
Yeah.
It was just like a quick thing in one of the episodes.
Okay.
And it set up for it. But overall, I liked it. I mean, I think it worked out pretty well.
Okay.
And it's not recency bias to the anime, because I've seen all the movies that I watched from animes have been while the anime was out. It's not like, or most movies, should I say?
Yeah, most.
So, like, I don't even watch One Piece movies anymore.
There's so many.
A little bit too ridiculous.
And
kind of like, for me, kind of dumb.
Well, for me, like, I just don't even, for me, it's like a filler.
Yeah, but this doesn't feel like a filler.
Yeah, okay. So it's better, probably. Okay, cool. So that's My Hero Academia, Two Heroes. Mm-hmm. And Raph, you have a second film.
Yeah.
Or a short special or something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. See, this is the problem. I don't like to call it film, but I'm just going to bring it up because I don't really have a section to bring it up because it's not TV, but it's not.
I get it. It's a special.
It's a special. It's an hour-long special. It's Joe Rogan's newest special called Strange Times, and he talks kind of like about today's climate.
Politically?
A little bit of everything. Okay. So, yeah, not just politically, but he brings up a lot of stuff. But it's funny. He brings up in the most he wants to kind of throw it at your face of like how kind of crazy and ridiculous a lot of our actions and a lot of our things that we say.
Yeah.
If you ever follow Joe Rogan, I found it funny.
Yeah.
I liked it overall. I gave it the thumbs up on Netflix. Because you don't do.
Remember they used to do 5 stars and stuff?
Those were good times.
I remember the 5-star reviews.
They were so much better.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
I agree.
Yeah, well, just me, I guess.
I'd probably give it a 4 for sure.
Okay. Hey, that's pretty good. I've been secretly holding back on this year's, I can only imagine, tidal wave of, comedy specials to just, like, binge them, basically.
Well, because I know Netflix has so many. I kind of don't watch a lot of comedy specials for the reason that it's hard for me to get into them, just to kind of blind go into a lot of things. Especially if
One of the few things I love going blind into it.
No, I it's hard for me to get going blind into them because I've been burned so many times. And I'm just like, I get it. I get the joke and I got the setup. Like, oh, okay, I saw what you did.
Yeah, but it's also just an hour, though.
Right, I know, but. Yeah.
It's not like us convincing Lou to blind by upgrade.
But I'd rather just watch.
Shut up.
I'd rather just watch.
Did you like it by the
anime or something?
Didn't watch it.
Obviously not because it's not on your recently discovered. But, okay, cool. Anyway, sorry, Ralph, to interrupt you. I got 4 movies here. One of them is Hellfest.
Why?
Because I have the AMC system. So, and it's horror time. It's horror time, guys. It's October. October!
That doesn't mean you're going to sit through a shitty movie.
Wait, let me just read the description here. A masked serial killer turns a horror-themed amusement park into his own personal playground, terrorizing a group of friends while the rest of the patrons believe that's all part of the show. First of all, what did you guys think of that conceit, that idea for a horror movie?
Dumb.
Don't say it's terrible, because you're just basing it off the trailer.
Dumb.
It's a great idea for a horror movie.
I thought it had been done before.
Well, I'm sure it has. I'm sure there's some slasher movie.
I think it's been done in like either some random slasher movie.
Yeah.
But I think it's been done on a lot of TV shows.
Well, that I don't know. I don't watch a lot of horror TV.
Not just horror. Like, oh, like, even like cop shows where they're like, oh, there's a serial killer on the loose.
Oh, yeah, but they underplay the
they totally do.
I just like the idea that this idea could be explored as a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And I had never seen it before. That's what appeals to me. It's still a great idea.
They went the full.
It's a great concept.
Okay.
No, the movie's awful.
Of course, but, no, I'm saying, but they went all out on it. Like,
right.
They didn't just hold back.
Right. It was the entire thing was that, you know. And sometimes they do play it up and all that. And it stars a bunch of people that no one knows. And I'm sorry, I don't know them either. Actually, I think I recognize one of them, but I'm definitely not going to get into it. And Tony Todd's in it, very briefly. Anyway, this movie is more on the traditional slasher, like a 90s or early 2000s kind of scare tactics, except that maybe it just looks a little glossier to today's modern times, right? But other than that, the movie doesn't really hold any special effects or any creativity in its kills and its violence as it should. And the build-up time is probably 10 minutes or 15 minutes too long to get around to it, because I don't care. No one cares about any of these people, at least that much. And you'll see what I mean if you ever do see it. Otherwise, it's a good popcorn flick. I think it was fine enough. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't good. I think you just want to bitch on this movie because you hate horror movies. And also, you can't bitch a movie you haven't seen. And
it looked like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what am I going to look at?
I don't think you'll like it, but I'm just saying, it's not awful either. So that's Hellfest.
What's the Metacritic score on that, 25?
Oh, I've never looked at that.
That matters.
I think it does something.
They've also hated movies I love. Anyway, Hellfest, it's in theaters. It's horror time, so that's why I saw it. Another one, another horror movie here. This is not a new movie, but this is a movie that I got into when I was watching the director's filmography. It's Ouija, Your Origin of Evil, which is part two, technically a prequel to the Ouija board game movie. Have you seen that?
Oh, no.
No, okay. In 1967 L.A., a widowed mother and her daughters add a new stunt to bolster their seance scam business by inviting an evil presence into their home, not realizing how dangerous it is. I don't remember the first movie, the original Ouija, and I heard amazing things about the sequel. Because the original movie, I heard, is fucking awful. I don't know if you guys ever seen it. Nobody?
Okay, it sounds familiar.
They made two movies. The first one was pretty popular. They made a sequel prequel called Origin of Evil, kind of like Annabelle in the prequel.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't see it.
Okay. And the reason I saw it is because I like the actors that star in it, Elizabeth Reaser. And it's directed by Mike Flanagan, who's had a great run. He's like the new Ty West of horror film directing, you know?
Who's Ty West?
He did House of the Devil.
Okay.
Do you know that movie?
I know the cover of that movie.
everyone know The Innkeepers. Have you seen The Innkeepers?
No.
Fuck. Okay, well, that's Ty West's movies.
I know Mike the cover Flanagan of that movie, movies. Too, though.
Here are Mike Flanagan movies. This is why I think he's really good, and this is why I'm watching his movies on purpose. Absentia, Hush, Oculus, Gerald's Game. Those are, like, the four most popular, I guess, but those are really good. And he also did, apparently he did, Ouija, Origin of Evil. And he has a show coming out on Netflix, a horror show about a haunting. And I really want to see it because they're all his
movies.
Oh,
yeah, that comes out in.
All his movies are pretty solid.
It's not that Maniac one, is it?
No. That's a movie.
That's directed by the guy who did True Detective, by the way.
Ooh.
All of a sudden, it became interesting, right?
No, I wanted to see that before. No, it's a short.
It looks awesome.
Right?
Maniac? Yeah,
six or eight episodes?
That's it. It's one and done, yeah.
Yeah.
At least so far. They're not going to make another one. But here is fucking. Anyway, no one's seen that show, so I don't know.
No one here.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You made it sound like no one is.
But this one, so I really like this director. We both love Hush when it came out of. And I really like his style, and I love how clear he makes it. He doesn't overcomplicate the plot. For a movie that, again, looks like it should be horrible, it's not at all. It's way better than it deserves to be. For a board game horror movie, it actually lives up to it.
Listen,
it's pretty cool.
That's how one Annabelle movie came out. So.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Some of these, the directors, you know, can really do it. They, you know, give them the choice.
Right.
They can do it.
Right.
And I think it totally holds up. And I hadn't seen it before. And like I said, I just got into this director. And he has not disappointed me once. So I really like this guy.
You mean yet?
Yet. Right. Because they all eventually disappoint someone. Ouija, Origin of Evil. It's out. I saw it on HBO, I think. Not 100%.
A hobo?
Hobo. I have another one here. A Simple Favor. Anyone?
Sounds familiar.
That's the one where one feels no emotions and the other one is two emotions. Too emotional.
That's putting it mildly, but yes, essentially.
Right?
That's what.
That's the. I remember the.
It's in theaters right now. It stars Blake Lively or Blively, and Anna Kendrick.
Blively and Kendrick.
I thought you would have seen it based on.
Right, I'm surprised you haven't seen it because of that.
Yeah, it's directed by Paul Feig. You know who that is, right?
Feig sounds familiar.
Not personal.
Not personal. Freaks and Geeks, The Heat,
that's why.
Spy, Ghostbusters.
Yeah, not personally, sorry.
He's like a comedy director, but he did this thing. Anyway, Stephanie's a single mother with a parent, Vlog, who befriends Emily, a secretive upper-class woman who has a child in the same school. When Emily goes missing, Stephanie takes it upon herself to investigate. It is a comedy. It's also a very much like a crime investigative thriller kind of thing at the same time. And the first half of this movie blew me away. It was so amazing how they balanced the funny, because Anna Kendrick can be, you know, fast-paced funny with her voice. It's fast-paced, kind of funny, and also intriguing to see where it's all going to fall off the deep end, right? Because the movie opens up with, like, you know, 3 weeks early or whatever. And it gets really interesting. Unfortunately, by the time the third act comes around, it kind of does go off the deep end, and it gets a little too big for its britches, in my opinion. And I'm not going to spoil it here because it's in theaters, and I want people to see it. And I know you'll see it, Luke, now that you... Yeah, I know you love Anakin.
Eventually.
It's really good. And my point is that, and she's really good in it. And it actually fits, actually, surprisingly, she fits really well in the movie. I didn't think she fit well because she looks polar opposite to every other person in this movie. But you'll see what I mean if you ever see it. It's a Simple Favor in theaters right now if you're interested into like a good crime mystery box kind of movie. I say, with comedy in it. Watch it. I would say. And last but not least, I saw Mandy. Has anyone heard of this one?
No.
Really? Nicolas Cage?
No.
Apparently, it's the Nick Cage movie of the year, even though he did Mom and Dad earlier. Maybe review that?
Was it this year?
That
was in January.
Yeah. That was
January, February.
Debatable.
Well, no, people were saying it was a good Nicolas as opposed to like a bad one because he makes 20 bad movies in a row. That's what people meant.
Oh. Okay.
This is an actually good one. However... I almost feel like we should have reviewed this movie. Anyway, the enchanted lives of a couple in a secluded forest are brutally shattered by nightmarish hippie cult and their demon biker henchmen, propelling a man into a spiraling, surreal rampage of revenge. Does that sound intriguing to anyone?
Fucking hippies.
Sounded like way too much information.
I know. Well, I just read one of them. I just read the shorter description here.
That was the shorter one?
Yeah, it was the shorter. And this is directed and written by Panos Kostamos, Kosmatos, sorry.
Okay, that didn't help out anymore.
And he did that movie Beyond the Black Rainbow. Anyone know that one? You know that friend of yours?
I had never heard of that one.
I'm sure that friend of yours, and I think I have talked about it, Jake. I think so. It's one of those kind of movies. And this movie is surreal. It's fucked up. It's very nearly a horror movie. People are calling it a horror movie. It's not a horror movie. But
so what is it?
It's a thriller. It's a French movie.
A what?
It's a French
revenge movie?
Sorry, I thought I heard Fringe movie.
No,
I was like,
I heard French.
Yes, stop talking.
I heard Revenge the second time you said it.
Yeah.
When I asked you, what did you say?
Yeah, revenge movie. And Nick Cage plays this guy. Basically, the whole first act is not only showing them as a couple, him and Andrea Riceboro, but showing like this hippie cult who must have her, and then she denies the hippie cult, and the leader kills her. Horribly in front of him, horribly. You know, it's all like very artistic, and everyone's under drugs. Any person that's under drugs, and it's their point of view, the camera will take on the drugs point of view, kind of. So the movie's trippy.
That's what's
and
up.
It's like methodical, and it's atmospheric as fuck. And then after that, you know, Nick Cage like unleashes himself, and it basically becomes a Nick Cage B movie. For his acting style, but it's made with like an A-listed camera work, you know? So like it's a great movie, except that I think they misused Nick Cage in this movie, honestly. If we ever review the movie, I would love to tell you
more.
Is
he too toned down?
No, I think they hired Nick Cage for the wrong role.
Okay. I asked because like
he should have been the hippie cult leader.
See, that sounds like the Nick Cage role he normally plays.
Yeah, he should be that because I think they told him, be the hero of this movie and then just be the Nick Cage you've been for the last 20 years. And I think they should have asked more of him to be more serious, because you still could have a crazy Nick Cage but not be Face Off, Crazy in the Cage.
Yeah, I think, what I think that's what we got in Mom and Dad.
Yeah, but that movie uses that to a good degree. Like, it knows it's a B movie.
Right, 100% right. Agree with you.
Right.
And like they say, you should just kind of go crazy.
Right.
And then but they use his strengths. That's what I'm trying to say.
This one they have this too. And don't get me wrong, some great scenes in there. There's a chainsaw sword wielding fight. That is truly amazing.
What?
Chainsaw v. Chainsaw. It's so cool. A lot of gore, as you can imagine. It's pretty great. So it's a fun movie overall, even though. Mandy. It's out technically in theaters, but it's out for rental, too. At the same time. Came out at the same time. So let's get into our first review of the evening, which I believe is a supervillain movie. Venom. Right? Yes. Stay with us.
Is that a threat?
You had to learn how to hide in plain sight. I'm pretty good at it. But you suck. Whoever you are.
I work at the Life Foundation, and I need your help. We found something. We call them symbiotes. Carlton Drake believes that the union between human and symbiote is the key to our evolution.
I'm feeling really sick. I'm hearing a voice.
Eddie. You're not real. You were just in my head.
I'm gonna need Mr. Drake's property back.
I don't know.
Why would we do that?
When Eddie Brock acquires the powers of a symbiote, he will have to release his alter ego Venom to save his life. That is not how actually that works, by the way.
Why did you say it like that?
I don't know.
All right, Vincent Price.
Thank you. This is a film, Venom. Written by a bunch of people. Screen story, different people. Jeff Pinker, Kelly Marcel, Scott Rosenberg, Jeff, whatever. Some people. Directed by Ruben Fleischer, his most... I think his best work is he directed Zombieland, if anyone remembers that movie.
I do.
That was a great movie.
He also did Gangster Squad, which is a flop, and 30 Minutes or Less with that Eisenberg.
I like that movie, but I only saw it once, so.
I haven't seen it.
So. I could maybe possibly hate it.
And
is
this
that
film
the pizza
stars,
delivery one?
Yes, with the bomb strapped to his chest.
I don't think I saw
this
it.
This stars Tom Hardy, Michelle Williams, Riz Ahmed, Scott Hayes, Reed Scott, Jenny Slate. Oh, that's Jenny Slate. Anyway, Woody Harrelson, apparently? Do I remember him?
Yes.
Did you stay after the credits?
Did you stay after the credits?
Oh, no.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. I fucking left as soon as this movie was over.
It's actually the mid-credits scene.
I don't care. I left as soon as the credits started. Okay, so you kind of have a sneak peek of what I thought. However, we're going to start with Roth today. Roth, what did you think
All
of
right.
Venomous Venom?
First impressions.
Venomy.
I thought Tom Hardy played this role really weird.
He's always weird, though.
But no, he's always weird, but it felt like he was sick the whole time. Okay? Like, I just felt like he was sick. It felt like he was sick the whole time.
Like,
as an actor.
Like, don't get those sick acting moves?
No,
or like,
No.
Something's wrong with that boy.
I know.
Like, something's wrong with that boy. Exactly. I felt like himself. Like, he was.
Dude, he's such a good actor. He uses his nasal cavity as an acting thing. Like,
well, I felt
he's
like,
so good.
Well,
at
I felt
it.
Like he was always.
Yeah.
No, I just, it really felt to me like he was always like fighting the flu. And don't get me wrong, like the second and half of the movie is basically the whole time he's sweating. But from the first part, when he's what's called doing his job as a reporter.
During San Francisco, is that supposed to be like some sort of accent? Is that how they talk?
I don't know. But he's not from San Francisco.
But isn't that what the movie's taking place?
Yeah, he's from New York, though.
They said that, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, every superhero.
It's a throwaway
movie,
line, anyway.
Every Marvel thing comes
from
New York, anyway.
That's fine. Regardless.
Anyway.
Regardless. Besides that, I overall left the movie liking it.
Okay.
Left the theater liking the movie. I thought it was like, okay. I mean, it wasn't a gigantic piece of shit. That's basically how I left it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I have some problems with the movie.
Yeah.
Like, where do the heads go? Other than that. Yeah, I mean...
Oh, my God, yeah.
So, like...
Fucking first question I had.
That's the very first question I had.
Yeah.
So, other than that, I definitely liked Venom, the actual symbiote, should I say. What's it called? Whoever voiced the symbiote was That was pretty cool.
Oh,
it might have been Tom Hardy also.
It's Tom Hardy.
So his voice was way better there than it was as himself.
I mean, it must have been like altered.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that was, I don't see another name here. So I'm going to go with it was him because he's credited as both.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it. Just Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy is Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy is Tom Hardy. Yes. Yeah. That being said, like I said, that's like one of my biggest things. I just feel like Tom Hardy. I don't know. It was something weird about the movie. Like he was sick the whole 90 days of shooting or something.
Yeah, I didn't think of the sick thing, but I understand where you're coming from.
You get it, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And I don't know if it was like on purpose,
right?
Or if they were just like, listen, bro, we're just gonna have to deal with it. Like if you're gonna be sick, like we're just gonna have to roll with the punches.
Right. He's like, let's think of that. What's that bad actor that played Joker?
Yeah. Other than that, predictable as fuck and very shitty loose ends and stuff. But I guess I left the movie still.
All right,
maybe because you gave it such a bad when I first talked to you.
Well, when you asked me, I told you it was an interesting mistake.
Right.
That's not saying it's the worst piece of shit. You know,
I get that. But when you said it's an interesting mistake, I also take that as in, like, I didn't like this movie.
You know what? From now on, one of us should feel the movie in advance so only one of us can hate a movie and the other two can be like, it wasn't as bad as you put it out, by the way. Because we all have to change each other's perspectives before, you know, anyway. As I saw it opening night, so Thursday night when it opened.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I totally forgot it came out this weekend.
Yeah.
Until you said, did you guys watch Venom yet? And I was like, fuck, that movie's out already?
Yeah, oh my God. And then no one saw that fucking singing movie, country singing, whatever.
A Star is Born.
Oh, I've been avoiding that movie.
Yeah, why?
I don't want to watch it.
Oh,
all those trailers burned me out of that movie.
Yeah, it kind of did too. Shit. I'm going to see it anyway because I have the internet.
I almost don't want to see it.
No, because this guy wants to see it too. Yeah, it's a date movie.
No,
I'm not paying money.
No, I want to see it.
I'm gonna go see it. I'm gonna go myself.
A movie not directed by that dude with the thing. Yeah.
Rocket Raccoon. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So, okay.
First impressions.
Interesting mistake. First impressions is that this movie does not know what movie it is. It does not know the movie it should be, and unfortunately, the movie we got was just a
heaping pile of shit. Yeah,
no, it was very, very trite and paint by numbers. And if this movie had come out, let's say, 5 years ago,
after one of the remakes of Spider-Man,
I would have liked it probably a lot more. Just because
you don't expect the quality
because it's better than those movies, it's better than some of those.
Well, 5 years
movies.
Ago, it would have been better. If it came out 10 years ago, it probably would feel better.
Yeah, well, it also is better than some of those movies, not than all of them, because I do like the first two Spider-Man movies.
Right, still better than Dark World, for example. I know it's my go-to.
We can't use Thor and Iron Man too.
I have to.
The first two Thor movies.
Fine, Hulk. Let's rack on Hulk for the next few months.
All right, that's fine.
Okay,
good. Those are bad movies.
They're all bad movies. I mean, even Ang Lee, he tried his best. I'm sorry, I gotta rewatch it again. But I love Ang Lee, but not that movie. Anyway, my first impression is that I wish it was different and better. Because different would have been better. Tom Hardy, I don't know what the fuck he's doing, but I didn't hate him either. I didn't hate it. I was just so interested in what the hell he was doing on screen that I was like, why? That's me. It had some fun parts, but overall, paint by numbers.
Yeah.
Luke?
Yeah, obviously I didn't like it either.
Hmm.
There were some moments I hated his fucking girlfriend or ex-girlfriend.
Oh my God.
Fucking, oh God. And I think I told her, I leaned in, I'm like, I fucking hate her.
Like, oh, you watched it together?
Yeah.
Okay, he hated her, like, the second scene she was in. He's like, I fucking hate her. And I was like, whoa.
Why?
This was fast.
You should really research in yourself. Why do you hate people out of the blue and for no reason?
No, he was just like, I hate her. And I kind of was like, okay.
Okay.
And then I felt like the movie wanted to, like, rush from, like, oh, let's go to an action scene or something.
Maybe he saw it first. Maybe he saw the shittiness of her first.
Yeah, maybe.
She wasn't
was great. She shitty?
She wasn't great.
She was She's poorly horrible. Written, for sure, if at all.
Poorly written, yes.
Yes.
That's a good one to use.
It seems like they try to make it like...
I felt like they wrote her off and then they forced her back in.
Like, I'm going to agree with, like, the movie doesn't know what it wants to be. Because I think this movie, had it been like maybe rated R, it could have gotten away with a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel they had to repress it for a PG-13 rating.
Okay.
And I think that really destroyed a lot of it.
Yeah, I agree. It's just almost like this movie is, I think this movie should have been what Kick-Ass was, kind of. Like a rated R, fun, raunchier version of what we usually see. Now, obviously, a PG-13 means they make more money. Obviously, that's how they see it. That's why they make a lot of these kind of movies. They don't make entertaining action movies rated R on purpose.
Okay, so I was trying to think of,
you know,
what to use, and that's a good one.
What to use?
Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass, yeah, that's a good one.
It's a good one to use because that was
rated R. It's a popular movie, rated R, superheroes.
Right. And yeah. I just really think they were like, oh, but Venom is tied to Spider-Man, and we can't make it rated R.
Yeah, I feel like that's what they did.
I felt like that's literally what the right. higher-ups were like. Yeah. We can't do that.
Also, Ruben Fleischer, much like, for example, Kevin Trevorrow, whatever his name is, that one guy who did Chronicle and that awful Fantastic Four movie. Like, I feel like some of these directors are on the same wave of new directors that are being hired for these big projects and then get fired from it or get taken down so much that the original thing is not there anymore. That's why Edgar Wright skipped out on Ant-Man. That's why Solo, a Star Wars movie, was changed directors to Ron Howard from that other guy, the brothers who did the Captain America movies. They were going to make it a completely different movie. And then Ron Howard came in and made it This is not a Solo movie. Anyway. And I feel like this is one of those things. And I feel like Ruben Fleischer, I don't love him particularly. I like the two movies that I like about him. But I feel like I won't be surprised if I hear stories of more interference on this one. But even so, I don't like this.
That's also not a good sign when it has like more than two writers.
Oh man.
You said writers plural. And you said more than two names?
Yeah, I know.
I was very worried for this
one. So, screenplay has three credited people. Screen story has two people. And then the Marvel characters and based on
two different people.
Yeah. Some of them are the same. One of them is the same, but two of them are not.
So, together, four people.
Yeah, there's an added. Only Kelly Barcells. The only one that's the odd one out.
Sure. Well, you can't count the creators of the comics.
No, I don't count them. Right. Yeah. I don't.
No, you can't. Don't get me wrong. They created it,
right?
And they get credit for that,
but they were not involved in it.
Right, exactly. They're fucking dying or dead.
Oh, probably dead. Yeah, had black and white photos on them.
Yeah.
And overall, I just think that what I wanted to see, and this is in a way a spoiler, but I'm really not spoiling anything specific whatsoever. I wanted a super villain origin story, and all I got was a bad boy superhero origin story again. And I don't care about that.
Who's the again?
Well, Iron Man's kind of like that. Not really. Ant Man can't be like that. I mean,
Iron Man is closer to that.
Because Iron Man was the first of his new wave, doesn't mean that he's not.
No, he's just super rich and snobby.
Yeah. No, I'm saying he's an.
A lot of people get away with those.
The whole thing is an asshole.
I don't see him as a bad boy though.
No. But he's like an asshole redeemed, right? Ant Man is a convict redeemed.
But I don't think Venom gets redeemed at all in this, or Tom Hardy.
Well, let's not get now. Yeah. I'm just saying this movie does not make a supervillain. That's not what I'm trying to say.
I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
But
you think Punisher, then you think
I totally forgot about Punisher.
Punisher's one. Yeah. He has many movies and shows now.
Yeah. I did like that one last movie though for Punisher. War something.
Oh, Warzone?
Yeah.
that was
brutal.
That was fun because that movie knew what it was.
Exactly, yeah. That's what you have to do.
Yes, exactly. There's another one it was in the trip of my brain. I got it. It's long.
Judge Dredd?
Probably Blade. What's coming up? Anti-hero. That's not really a bad boy, but he's kind of a bad boy. No, I guess Punisher will be the best one. But yes. And it's not what it should have been. The movie does not know what Venom is. And not that I'm not saying it's a comic book thing, but everyone and their mother knows, based on the Tobey Maguire movies, that Venom is a villain. Venom is a... Not a force for good, force for evil and selfishness and whatever that eats heads and shit. This movie does not really. I don't think he tries to walk a line, but it wants to be a superhero movie, and I don't like it.
Yeah. Also, I think the Venom in the
instead of walk the line, you walk hard.
Okay. Yes. I think also the Venom in the comic books now is considered a hero, or he's like part of the. Just to say comic book stuff, I think he's like in the new Guardians of the Galaxy, and he's one of the new Guardians.
Oh, really?
I think so.
What does he guard?
The Galaxy. I don't know what the fuck you need me to tell you. I want to say so, but I have not caught up with that.
Let's talk about Michelle Williams.
sure.
Jesus
Christ. Go ahead and start, Luke.
Steaming pile of shit.
She was
horrible. I hated her. What? Everything she felt just tells, like, anytime she opened her mouth, I was like, shut up. Just shut the hell up.
So did you not like how she was like...
her dialogue was horrible.
Oh,
it felt like it was written by a goddamn 12-year-old.
Yeah, dude, the dialogue for her, why was it so bad?
It seems like her dialogue was written by someone completely else.
It just felt like... It felt like stilted or something, or felt like... I don't know what it felt like, but it felt wrong. And also, yeah. like, Michelle Williams is a great actress, like, but she couldn't not, she could not save the dialogue in this movie. And also, until we were doing this review, I didn't know that was her. That's how unrecognizable she was
right,
to me.
Right, she was very unrecognizable.
And I've seen almost all her movies. Meeks Cut Off and, you know, the Marilyn Monroe movie. I've seen them all. And I did not recognize her as Michelle Williams. Yeah. And I'm
bad with
this.
Names, so I wouldn't be able to tell you anyway.
Manchester by the Sea is the last one I saw her in.
I recognized her right away that she was in Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, I didn't recognize her.
But she's in that one scene in Manchester by the Sea.
No, I know.
Don't get me wrong, I still recognize her from that.
Yeah.
I recognized her right away, and I was just like, what are you doing here? That's all I said to myself.
Yeah, anyway. It's not just the actress was unfamiliar. I guess, like Luke and I were saying, the writing was very stilted or weird. He said it was written by a 12-year-old. I would say like a 14-year-old, but, you know, it's pretty close.
Well, it felt teenage. It did feel adolescent.
It felt like a high school drama talking.
100% agree with you. It felt like she never, even though she's a lawyer, it felt like it was...
The worst lawyer? What the hell are you doing?
It just felt like she hit 18 and she was like, I'm never growing up. And that's it. Like, and that's how it did her writing.
When she came back, isn't that
spoiler? It's a 13 going on 30 for her. She's a 13-year-old.
Isn't that
Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner. Thank you. That would drive me crazy. I was going to say Jennifer Carpenter. That's not her. You know when she... This is not a spoiler because this is like the crutch of the conflict where it starts for Tom Hardy's character. But you know when she leaves him, right? Returns the ring.
Oh my god!
It felt like she was like giving back a promise ring from high school. Right? Like, it didn't feel. It's like,
you guys were engaged. You guys loved each other. Are you sure? Like, was there a shotgun involved? Like,
yeah. Honestly, it didn't feel like. I felt like they were dating for a couple months.
Yeah, I did not get that either.
And they probably just moved in together because the guy's lease was up.
Yeah, the only thing I liked about them is when they were together in the beginning. You know. I like them together.
I like that in the beginning, yeah.
I like how their banter in the morning and shit. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
That's the only time I believe any of those two together in the same room.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you.
And then becoming, as you can imagine, a bigger part. Not like the biggest part, but a bigger part later on in the movie after the whole symbiote thing was laughable almost. And the only thing worse than that was Riz Ahmed's character, another really good actor. Who plays the CEO of this company. I forgot the name of the company. I don't care. I don't care what he does. But he's the guy who found the symbiote and the bacteria in space. They're aliens and stuff. He is so laughably villainous. He has no redeeming qualities at all. He has to be cartoonish the entire time.
As fuck.
Well, just felt like we weren't... The first interaction with him... I was like, okay, he's just being defensive because he's being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
100% agree with him. And then once they get all the stuff, samples, right, or whatever, just because I don't want to ruin anything, he becomes full-on this laughless. Yeah. And I was like, this shitty villain. And I was like, what happened? Like, I thought we could have got something better out of you. And that was a very big disappointing thing in the movie for me.
Right.
It was just like, oh, okay, you're just useless. Like, there's nothing to you.
You have these two great actors do nothing. Like, do nothing that, you know, honestly, any other actor could do. Why hire them? Why even get them? I mean, like I said, Tom Hardy is doing something interesting. He's the main lead, and he wasn't terrible. I don't know what he was doing, but he wasn't terrible at it. And,
yeah.
And we all wish everyone was in a better movie, but...
Right. Also, I just don't see him as a news reporter.
Yeah, he's like he's like one of those Vice guys. Okay. Like,
I can see him as a Vice guy,
right? Yeah.
But I just can't see him as like I run my own network. So, hey, yeah, that's what he was sounding like.
He did sound like that. Yeah, he's about to sell you a calzone,
right? I whatever. There's throwaway lines if you missed them.
Yeah,
for ties to New York and ties to Spider-Man.
I'm sure.
There's the Daily Bugle. They mention it when they're together.
Yeah. Oh,
they're like, yeah, remember that incident with the Daily Bugle? That's why you had to come to San Francisco. Boom. Gets him out of New York. Says the Daily Bugle. Ties in with Spider-Man and all. And J. Jonah Jameson. Jameson ties in with, that was the, what's it called? One of the astronauts.
Oh, his kid.
Or one of the pilots.
His kid.
Jameson is the one. Yeah.
I remember that from the third Sam Raimi movie.
Exactly.
The clearly worst one. Okay, now I remember that because I was like, J.K. Simmons didn't go to space.
But
that
was back in.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Which flew by a lot of people's head because our friend was there,
yeah,
and she's been playing the Spider-Man game.
Oh, oh.
And I brought it up to her, and she was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, never mind.
Never mind.
Because she doesn't know anything about it.
Right, right. All right. We're going to take, I think we're gonna go to spoilers.
I think we have to.
So we're going to go to spoilers right now before we yell into the mics more.
Also, I thought it was a cool use of drones.
Hands!
You do not want to do this, trust me.
Mask! Drop me!
All right, have it your own way.
Mask!
Drop me.
What the hell? No. Horrible drone.
I'm calling. Wait, we're in spoilers. That's a good pause, actually. Okay. So I'll just put it there. Horrible? Why horrible? I thought it was fun.
Like,
I mean, it looks fun. It looks completely impractical.
Yeah, that's why I'm just, no.
But
no.
This whole movie is impractical.
Right. Like,
and movies are fiction.
I just like that they were used as bombs. Like,
yeah,
I like that they were like, we're just going to use you as a bomb, like fodder. And no, there's no harm, no foul on anybody being attacked here, you know, like except for Venom.
Except for Venom.
That's what I liked about it.
What did you think of the action in this movie? I'll say first.
Mixed.
I want to say forced, maybe?
Is what?
Like forced. They just went like, okay, we just got to go to an action scene now. Go to an action scene. It seems like they just wanted to go get to an action scene.
Oh, no. I don't. Let's get mechanics of storytelling aside. How was the actual action? I mean.
I think the one cool part that stands out for me is like in the
streets?
The news building with the smoke building and everything, just taking everyone out.
Oh yeah, that was almost a Sam Raimi touch where he added like out of nowhere in Spider-Man 2, for example, when Octopus is
I just
like,
felt like
waking,
he was
like all of a sudden becomes like a horror movie.
I felt that was a missed opportunity.
I know.
For her a lot, so that's why it's mixed for me because they didn't go one way and they didn't go the other way.
Yeah.
When it came to the action, I love the beginning when he's learning his abilities. That was cool.
In his apartment,
they don't have the full symbiosis yet, right?
Yeah.
And
he's like, is like pulling his body.
Yeah, still pulling his body. Exactly. They don't. They're not bonded well together.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. I like that part of it. And then the whole motorcycle scene after that was iffy. That whole scene.
Yeah, it was iffy. I think
it was coolish, but it was iffy.
Yes.
It was just like I said. It neither went too far. They were like some random boundaries that they had for some reason, and I was like, why?
Yeah.
That one scene that stood out for you, Luke, I missed opportunity. Other than that, it was cool.
Could have been a really good horror scene.
But it was a missed opportunity for a cool horror scene. Like,
I think
besides just him visually looking.
Imagine these scenes medicine, rated R, guys. Can you imagine?
If I imagine them rated R, I'd see them way bloodier.
It would have been cool. It's like if you turn off the blood settings in Mortal Kombat when you're playing it. It's not as fun. I'm talking about the old-fashioned game. Obviously, I don't know any new ones. But it feels like it lacks something. Either that or be really creative. And I don't think the movie was creative at all. Like, for example, you guys have not seen Upgrade yet. This movie reminds me a little bit of Upgrade. Have you not seen it, right? I know
no.
Luke hasn't. You haven't.
Even though he owns it, yeah.
Soon.
Oh, you haven't bought it yet?
I own it. I'll watch it soon.
Oh, you watch it soon.
I thought you bought it already.
I thought we convinced you. So an upgrade, a different force and a voice is inside our main character's head, right?
You had mentioned that.
Right, and he's a paraplegic, and he's being controlled by this other thing that he can give orders to. At one point in the movie, much like in Venom 2, but in Venom a lot more, the thing can just take over when he just tells it to. Like, here, just do what you know what I need to do. Just do it. Don't wait for me to respond to you. And the other computer voice in this movie will like completely take over his body, and the movie shows that to such a crazy good acting degree, and with very little effects, by the way, guys. Shows it in such a good way that it looks alien. It also looks very efficient and awesome and creative, and that movie is also rated R, so it's really bloody. In Venom, though. I don't think it knows what to do with the idea of having another brain inside your own body and what you can do to self-defense yourself, even if you don't know you need it. The movie does not play with that notion at all. it the most it does that is that it would make it into like a punchline or make a joke about it. Like he killed, whoa, you know, being pulled here. And
also, very comedic movie or very laugh out loud scenes in this movie. Because our audience laughs out loud quite a few times.
There was one or two, yeah.
I thought we had some pretty stupid people in my audience, though. So.
And I also didn't expect any of that in this movie.
Well, you didn't expect any lightheartedness?
No.
I
don't see that in Venom at all.
Right.
As a character.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, for sure. It's totally... I don't think it belongs there. But as soon as the movie, like after 10 minutes, I figured that there would be a lot in there. Or some in there. Because it just felt like, what you said, kind of paint-by-number type. And it was going to do the arc that it was going to do. And all of a sudden, it's about the saving of the world again. And all of a sudden, it's like these other symbiotes. And he's... I'm like, out of the blue, this Venom parasite decides to separate himself from his own species, right? In order to be the number one of his kind.
Right, when he was the number. Earth and...
But it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
I mean, they say it too, though.
They do describe the selfishness of that action, but they don't actually go into it, and it was a 180-degree turn on that. To me, the way it just came out of nowhere. He just decides and just tells them right then and there, and then like, oh, as soon as he says it, Riz Ahmed is being taken over by this other parasite. This other parasite wants to bring the millions of others. I don't remember. Riz Ahmed is the actor.
Why does this other parasite want to be like... I just want to go for this main guy. Like, it's stupid how, you know, it transferred itself from person to person.
Yeah.
Just to get to that main guy. Like, you don't even know who this main guy is, but you want to.
They didn't fully explain that, but what I took from it is that it was gaining the knowledge, right, of everything it took, and it knew where to go eventually. Like,
no, but why would it want to go to this person?
Because I guess it's because Riz Ahmed is the guy who can, you know, buy and launch the thing, right?
That's yeah, I think it knew overall who's in charge there.
But still, like, but I guess it didn't think it would last that long anyway, because it wasn't taking perfect hosts, it was just taking subpar hosts. Even Riz Ahmed at the end, right? Like, they're all subpar, right? They weren't perfect matches, any of them, right? By the way, that other creature from the beginning, I guess it has a name. It's Riot.
Riot, there we go. Yeah. That's the one that became with what's-his-face.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I didn't know it had a name. And, I thought Venom was just like a name. Like, why do they have names? Whatever. I don't understand.
Agreed. I do like the explanation. It's and it's a funny moment because we all laughed at that point in the theater where he's like, I'm... Kind of like you, Brock, where I'm a loser in my world.
Right.
You know, and I'm just like, oh, that's funny. Like,
yeah.
That's a nice moment of lightheartedness. Smooth.
Thank you.
There's that moment, and you're going to go right back to it.
Yeah.
So, and I don't like that, but I just didn't feel like it literally changed. Like you said, it's a 180.
Mm-hmm.
It literally changed from, let's just stop this guy, to saving the world in 10 seconds.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I didn't know we needed that.
Also, the movie doesn't really just say that. It starts off with saying that it needs a perfect host. And when they find the ideal perfect host and start using homeless people left and right, it's the controlled environment that they're in, the laboratory, is that they give them saline, they give them all these vitamins and all the support. But what the movie, in the movie language of it, when it assimilated with Brock, it seemed like all he needed was meat. Like, he needed the hunt and the meat. That's why the movie language made it seem like why Eddie was special wasn't because he was special, but it's because he was out in the world getting his own things.
Well, I think it wasn't a perfect host. It needs a viable host. And yeah. I think those hosts, those other people that lived, mm-hmm. they just weren't getting the meat.
Getting the constants.
So they could have been a viable host. They just...
Right. Yeah, right. So it's not like a perfect. It's not like a soulmate made in hell kind of thing.
Don't get me wrong. I think there still is like a even better choice,
probably.
Right, which is I think what Brock ended up being.
I think they do say mention
they
that.
They kind of do like kind of hint at it, but again, for a movie that there's a lot of information, they lack in information as well.
Yeah. Okay. Does any of that track with you, Luke, or did you not give a shit? What do you know about Venom?
Whatever from Spider-Man, you know, thing came out of space.
The movies or the show?
The animated show back in the 90s.
Yeah, that's right.
The good stuff.
And Carnage.
Right.
Oh, wait. Is that what the thing was about?
Yes.
Oh, so tell me, how did this, what happened in the stinger? Or whatever.
Immediately.
So after the credits.
You see, when you see Woody Harrelson, you want to laugh. Because he looks like...
Well, he looks ridiculous.
Weird, yeah.
Well, he's got red hair. Okay. Curls.
Why?
Like, and he's in prison.
Woody Harrelson does not look good in curls.
He looks like a really, really, really rough version of Carrot Top. And
ouch.
It just looks bad. Like,
okay, he's in jail.
Laughable. And I laughed when I saw him. Okay. Like, I didn't find them serious.
Yeah. And then and he then, was in jail, you said?
And then he's like, and then he says, there will be carnage. And I was like, oh, you're carnage. Okay.
That's it?
Well, he's being interviewed by Eddie Brock.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, he says he will escape.
I'm glad I didn't see it.
When he does escape, there will be carnage. That's
right.
All he says.
Right. Okay. Cool. Sweet. I think that
so we have our next move.
It seems like we all agree. No. I think the part. This movie ends a little too happy, in my opinion, for what is a very deep and disturbingly dark character. Eddie Brock himself is not a good person. You know, he dives deeper into that psychosis when he meets a symbiote. But the symbiote is also not a very good being either. Downright bad things. They're very selfish. They want to kill anything in its way. They are bad guys. They are bad guys. Why is this movie trying to paint a different picture?
I think it skips the steps of where Venom is currently, or what Venom has become after the fact. Because after the fact, that becomes where, like, I kind of need to deal with my own problems. And once I'm in a better mental state, I think I can control Venom more himself. Mm-hmm. That's what Eddie Brock says himself, even in the comics and in the animated series that we used to watch in the 90s. Like, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, you can kind of paint any version of him you want. But right. I feel like they're clashing a lot of versions together. And they don't stick to one. So they skip steps, like I feel like they did in this one, where they skip the step of he doesn't have control over him, by the end of this movie it seems like he has full control with him, and they're buddy buddies.
Yeah, it's a cop buddy movie now.
Exactly, no, it's a cop buddy movie. Exactly,
it feels like that at the end.
Yeah,
it feels like another 48 hours. The only other, I mean, this is not one of them, but it's the closest. The only other supervillain superhero movie or whatever. Is Suicide Squad? Before that, can anyone think of him? Maybe Watchmen? That was like a teardown of superheroes.
Maybe.
The vanity of all.
I had someone tell me that Watchmen is the worst superhero movie he's seen, and I was just like, I gotta stop talking to you.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. I literally said it right now. I was like, let's not talk about this because I can't get into it with you about that.
Yeah.
Because that's an amazing movie. I left it at that, and I was like, that's an amazing movie.
Yeah.
That being said,
what I'm saying is that
I wasn't going to say Mystery Men, but no.
No, that's just like the lower term.
Yeah,
lower,
it's low.
Low-key heroes.
No, I can't think of anything.
That's what I'm saying. It's such a great opportunity that they both two movies, the last two, dropped the ball on this. I don't know what the third one will be, but they better fix this problem. And
the
also
third
get creative
one is
with
Mr.
the action.
Glass.
Technically, that is right. You're right.
The third one is
Let's
Glass.
Hope that M. Night will save us in 2019.
In January.
Because that is technically a supervillain, not origin story, but because Unbreakable is kind of his origin story.
Yeah.
Anyway, now we're getting geeky here. Mm-hmm. We're going to call it there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review our second film of the evening, which is Hold the Dark. Hold it. Thank you.
I don't know how, but okay.
It's not the first time people died out there. Hillside is scattered with pieces of bodies.
That's what you get when you talk to the villagers.
People are dying. Not real enough.
Help!
Leave us to the devils.
You're the one for my boy.
Yes.
He raised the dead.
No, sir.
Then I have no questions for him.
Never seen anything like this before.
behavioral term is savaging.
We're not talking about animals here, Mr. Corp.
Well, if you say so.
After the deaths of three children suspected to be killed by wolves, writer Russell Corr is hired by the parents of a missing six-year-old boy to track down and locate their son in the Alaskan wilderness. This movie stars Jeffrey Wright, Alexander Skarsgård. Who's fucking film was that? You're special. James Badge Dale, Riley Keough, Michael Tales, Beckham Crawford. Really goes on after that. Oh, Julian Black Antelope. I would definitely want to mention he has a pretty good performance in the movie. And this is written by Macon Blair. Anybody remember Macon Blair? Sounds he makes familiar. A small appearance in this movie as well as Blue Ruin. He's the main actor in Blue Ruin.
Oh, he plays the Green Room too. The good friend who screws him over.
Yes, yes, yes. And also he's in Blue Ruin. The other one, the Green Room.
Not really spoiling anything because there's a lot of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in this movie. He wrote the screenplay for this one and directed by Jeremy Saulnier, who did those two movies, Green Room and Blue Ruin, which are the two that I've seen and quite love. I love those movies. And he also did a movie called Murder Party, which I have not seen yet. Anyway, so this is – I went straight to Netflix. You know, in this day and age, a lot of these directors get their best shot to making even their third film or fourth film. Even might be still better to make it as a Netflix movie instead of a wide release or a limited release, theatrical release. I didn't know this movie existed. I didn't know Jeremy Saulnier had a new movie this year.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had a new movie this year. Originally, we had we talked about a documentary that had chosen originally. But of course, I found out that it's October. It's kind of horrific. The guy right. knows that I do those kind of movies.
Also, perfect. This guy kind of fits that horror movie genre.
Yeah, he does. And Jeffrey Wright's a pretty good actor, I think. He's pretty solid. So I thought, why not? And I'm going to start it off here. And I'm going to say, out of the bunch today and out of the week, let's say, worth of movies that I've been watching, it is my favorite, but it's not without problems. It's definitely the riskiest movie Jeremy Saulnier has done so far. Because Blue Ruin is a deconstruction of a certain genre type of movie and a certain type of hero, but of something we know very well. Green Room is like a survival movie that's a very intense and really well-made, pretty cool cast of people. But, you know, in a survival setting, kind of like Deliverance, right? Which is, you know, a common big one. Okay. This one, however, I am not 100% sure what he's trying to achieve, and that makes it a little more confusing, to say the least. What he's trying to say with Hold the Dark. But he's also, within the movie, in certain scenes, we'll talk about as we get there, he is also deconstructing and doing something that is out of the norm when it comes to both action scenes or, you know, thrilling movies or, you know, about missing people kind of movies, you know, those kinds of movies, like Wind River type. So the movie does have a certain setting and some of the stuff I really clicked with. But unfortunately, I don't have all the answers for this movie. Okay. And it can be frustrating, even while I was watching it. So the movie's not perfect. It's probably his riskiest, like I said. Maybe I need more time or need to review more, maybe read up on this movie more. Like, I don't usually do it before we review a show. So maybe next time I'll come up with a better answer. But even though I have some problems with it, I really liked it overall. That is my opinion. Luke, what did you think of Hold the Dark?
Oh, boy.
And do you like his other movies, by the way?
Yes. Okay. But as far as this movie goes, 2 hours and change.
Yeah, it's 2 hours.
It feels like so much happens. It's nuts.
Yeah, it does.
And I'm still thinking about this movie. Like, I still don't get parts of it.
I know. That's exactly.
I guess that's the beauty of it.
Wait, are we not supposed to?
Like, I think so, because they leave a lot of stuff unexplained.
It's like, I don't know if it's just unexplained because, what else in first impression? We'll get into all that confusion. But besides the confusion, what else? Did you like it?
Yeah. I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't sure where it was going. Mm-hmm. And some of the times where it went, I was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raph, before we start talking about the mystery of what this movie's trying to tell us.
I have a weird input on this movie. Weird input as in, like, we're weird.
Reaction?
No. Weird theory for this movie.
Cool. I mean, that's a spoiler. That's not a spoiler.
That spoiler
we'll
is
get there.
Fuck.
Okay.
And I'll tell you when we get to spoilers, I'll bring it up. Just remind me, because I'm liable to forget to bring it up. Other than that, yeah, I saw the first hour and change, hour and a half, and then I hit pause and I was like, there's still a while for this movie to go, because I don't know what we're going on. What's going on in this movie yet?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we're getting here. We're getting a lot. There's a lot of shit being gone. I mean, a lot of things are happening. A lot of things are happening, but like, nothing is happening at the same time.
The first 30 minutes, you feel like the entire movie will be this slow, but it doesn't. It picks up like fucking fast.
But we get nothing at the same time.
But yeah, I know.
It's like we hurry up to get nowhere.
We hurry up to get somewhere we don't know. Maybe that's a better way to look at it.
Yeah, but it feels like we hurried up for something, and we're like, but we got here. But yeah, but what did you get here for? And that's it, we're here.
I almost feel like this movie is two movies in one sitting. And one of those movies you can review right now, a spoiler in the spoiler-free or whatever, before spoilers, I mean. I think we can review that movie pretty easily and give our opinions and talk about the acting and the set pieces and stuff. And then the other movie within this movie is the mega heavy confusion, heavy spoiler heavy, you know, thing about the ending. Because I think a lot of the message, if there is one, a lot of this movie, either theories or message or whatever, is completely wrapped up in how we feel with the ending. Because we feel like the ending is either not enough or it's purposely misleading. So since all of our opinions are wrapped up with the ending, we can't, that's the second movie we have to spoil. One that we can only talk in spoilers. But let's talk about some of the craft of this movie. First of all, Sonia, pretty good. Pretty good guy. There's some crazy stuff in this movie. Like the way they introduce the father character, the father of this, if you guys remember the listeners, the synopsis is that this writer who wrote an autobiography, I think, or a story, it seems like a fiction story, about going out and killing a wolf, right?
I thought he was like a researcher on
a wolf hunter. I thought it looked like a book, like a regular paperback book, but I don't know.
It seemed to be both. It seemed that he actually did the research for it.
But he dramatized it,
yeah.
Is that the right word? Dramatized it? Dramatized.
Whatever, give a fuck.
Well, yeah, whatever. People know what we're talking about. Anyway, this mother whose kid was supposedly eaten and taken by a wolf and other children too, like writes him a letter about coming here to Alaska. And this isn't like fucking Anchorage. Don't mention Anchorage to these people. They live literally in the middle of the wilderness in Alaska, in the middle of nowhere, and little villages. And basically she wants him to take the task of hunting this wolf down and taking revenge. So just putting that, make sure that the synopsis is cemented in there, because based on what I read on this movie, I thought we were going to get like a wolf type of movie, like The Gray
something.
Dude,
I'm thinking it was going to be The Gray.
Where is The Gray? There was no graying anywhere. This is not the movie. The movie immediately says, like, after you read the synopsis, you're going to be awestruck and going to be 180'd on you. This is not the movie you're watching. The movie does that like four times. You don't know what movie you're watching. Until the end, and obviously by the end you don't know. So the movie,
yeah, you still don't know at the end.
So clearly Sonia loves the idea of turning things on its head. Did that in Green Room, did that in Blue Ruin. He's doing it again here, except like a lot more times. So props to the dude for doing it. What I loved about it is that Alexander Skarsgård, who plays Vernon Sloan, the husband who's out in Iraq, I think, or is it Iran? I forget.
I believe he's
out in war. And
that's a good one.
Out in war. I love this opening scene. Well, I didn't think we were going to see him. And then out of nowhere, we see desert, right? We see snow everywhere and then desert. And then we
see him being a badass.
We see him being a badass. I love his introduction scene. It's such a clean cut way without any dialogue to show what kind of man he is. And then they turn that expectation on us too, but that'll be in spoilers. But I love the introduction. This is how they do it. Without him talking at all, he fucking badassly finds one of his compatriots, right, I guess, soldiers, like raping this other villager in her house. And he goes there you know, incapacitates him with a knife, gives her the ability to take revenge for herself, and then leaves without fucking even blinking. And I think that says everything you need to know about this guy.
Yeah.
That he is principled. He has a moral sense of good and bad. He is a badass. He doesn't need to talk when he doesn't fucking have to. I love it. I love it. And then he gets injured right away and he gets taken back home.
Right.
And the story right really the starts. Yeah, right in the neck, too.
So much blood.
Yes. So anyway, what do you guys think of these characters as they were introduced? Because a lot of them get introduced in different ways. We can talk about Jeffrey Wright first if you guys want, but I started with this Sloan, Vernon guy. What do we think about these actors and these characters? Are they too extreme for movies? Or are they realistic? Not? Like, what do you think?
I think our main... Our who? The regular characters. None of the Alaskan characters here, right? except for the cop. Are realistic. The main cop, right? The head cop.
Yeah. I mean, Core, I guess, was an Alaskan, but not anymore.
Yeah.
Like, he left somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, those guys feel realistic.
Yeah.
He has a dual purpose to go up to visit, right? Mm-hmm. Our researcher.
Yeah.
I'm bad with names, so I'm just using their thing. And then we have the cop, who's obviously just trying to do his job.
Yeah, he's by far the most normal character.
By far. Actually, a little bit too normal.
Almost seems like he's like Hollywood normal. Everyone else is like indie weird movie normal.
Yeah, I would have wanted
like none of them are normal, but it's the closest to it, right?
Right. He believes Kokomo exists. Right.
Where did I see that? Oh yeah, it was anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, and everybody else is
in another world.
In another world. We do not exist to these people. Like,
it's funny how they talk about different places.
Oddly though, the witch, the town witch,
the Eskimo witch or whatever.
The Eskimo witch?
Yeah.
She feels normal. Oddly.
I think she feels normal because she's grounded.
Yeah.
You know,
other than that, like, I thought the introduction to what's his name? Felt normal from when he's over there in the war. It felt like at least he has his own like code.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought that was normal. But after that, it was just like, oh, well, he's not there at all.
No.
Right. And especially once we get more and more towards the movie.
Yeah. I really love that intro, but it does not carry the rest of the movie. And
no.
Normally, in a different movie, this is a bad idea to change a character like that for no reason.
Right.
But this movie, it's like being so aware of it that you can't hate it for it because it's like doing something else. I just don't know what it's doing. You know,
I think that's all of us.
Yeah, yeah, and it's so bizarre to me that this character who you can appreciate, you start appreciating him way less as the movie goes on.
This guy's not as cool as I wanted him to be.
Right, he is not like. So this father comes back home early from the war, finds out that his son wasn't taken by wolves, but was killed by his wife. Okay. This isn't spoilers. Happens in the first 30 minutes. And the real movie begins. The real investigation. Mm-hmm. She ran off into the woods by herself. She obviously knows the territory. Grew up there. Doesn't even know what sand looks like. And
San Diego. Never heard of it.
San Diego. And the story becomes the cops finding her before
he finds her.
Before he finds her. And then so much violence happens before they even leave.
Oh my god!
That do you guys feel like that was a distraction? And what did you think of the action?
Pretty awesome.
Pretty fucking awesome, right? Not just like that surprise. Sorry. Not just the surprise of when they first killed the first two cops to stall their, you know, to accentuate their, you know, so they can run on more time. But after that, the big standoff they have, that was really cool. And also, I don't know if you remember this, Luke or Enroth. You guys remember when they had that extended shootout, which was like, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
It felt like 10 minutes. It was longer than most of them. You remember Jeffrey Wright, still alive, coming in and out, running between cars and stuff like that, hiding. Did you guys immediately assume that he was going to be the one that takes him out?
I kind of thought it might be.
The movie shoots it as if he is about to take that rifle and show everyone here what it is,
like,
to be an Alaskan.
I'm a fucking badass.
Kind of thing. And he doesn't do it.
Yeah.
The movie has 50 of those moments where you think it's going to go this one way. He's going to kill the hotel manager of this nowhere place. He's No, he doesn't. He'll kill this other guy for a reason that has nothing to do with it. He offered him a mask. He gets killed.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make any sense. Nothing in this movie happens traditionally as we see in movies or even as people fucking dictate their actions. You know what I'm saying? Are we spoilers yet? No, we're not.
I think we should just get into spoilers.
I think we should just get in. I'm about to spoil. I just feel like I'm talking.
Yeah, so you kind
of
were.
Let's just pause it and hey, we're going to spoil the shit out of this movie probably if you can.
So do we recommend it, I guess? Is it worth going into spoiler territory with us if you...
Hard to recommend this movie.
Right?
It's hard to recommend. Yeah. It's very hard to recommend this movie. And I want to say it's hard to like this movie also.
I don't know if I like... Yeah, I don't know what I think about it.
Like, right now, I don't. And that's like because if I have to give it an impression, I don't like it. Yeah. And obviously, talking about it is going to help me decide what I think about the movie. Maybe even watching it again or watching it in one go would be better. But...
I definitely did like it more than I don't like it. Sometimes I love it. Sometimes I think back on the movie and I really love it. Other times I'm confused. And not necessarily in a good way. Not in a David Lynch kind of way, you know, where it's perfectly fine to be confused and you love the confusion. This isn't that. And I feel like that's a negative thing, but I don't know. Should it be? I don't know. Anyway, so we're going to get to spoilers. Clearly, we are mixed on recommending it, even though we are mixed on what we feel about the movie. But we overall seem to enjoy large parts of it. So, spoilers for Hold the Dark starting now.
Are you okay?
What do we think is happening in this movie?
Oh. Okay, so you were going to go into the whole thing.
Right, I think I was rambling. It was the beginning of a ramble, and I don't want to get into it. But, in that cave.
Okay.
I believe...
The cave...
When he finds the wife and Jeffrey Wright, or the main character, finds them together, right? He finds the couple there.
Oh, so at the very end, okay.
The very end, that cave. So, first of all, the cop gets killed unceremoniously.
Yeah.
They really built up his, credit to, oh, wife, I'm going to go on vacation soon. And nope. Dead instantly. By the way, did you guys think that this Vernon guy was keeping Cor alive on purpose? Because he shot the arrow from over the ridge, only at the cop. Did not shoot again. Remember?
Okay.
This is when the cop was killed, after they took the helicopter ride to this one secluded area, right? He kills the cop, doesn't shoot again, doesn't knock another arrow to shoot and kill Jeffrey Wright. What do we think is going on? From that point on, my first thought was does he want him alive? He did show respect to him when he first arrived from Iraq, remember? And first to his home, you're the one that found him. Thank you. That's the only sign of respect I've seen, whether that wasn't his best friend who did the shootout. So my thinking is it based on that? He didn't kill him for professional courtesy? And if so, why keep him alive at the end of the movie when he shoots an arrow through his shoulder, which he seemed to aim on purpose, by the way? What is going on there?
I don't know. That's something of why are you sparing him?
Right. Is he special? Is he true Alaskan?
Is it because he's not Alaskan?
No, maybe he was. I mean, he supposedly was. He was. That book must have meant something to these people or something.
I think he was, and I think he betrayed them. He left them, and he never looked back, and he never came back to help out. And that conversation that he has with the guy who hates the cops, and it showed how disconnected he was because he even asked about his wife. Don't think about your wife to the guy and when before the big shootout.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He asked about his wife, and he's like, my wife's been dead. And I couldn't even bury her because you guys had her or something like that. And he was like kind of pissed about it or something.
He was pissed about, no, it was his daughter, his I daughter. Think, was one.
But his wife was also passed also.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But or left her or something like that. One of the two. Like that, yeah. Regardless, nonetheless. Gone. But he didn't even know that. That's how disconnected he is. He's like, yeah, I came by to help out. He's like, just because you helped us for 10 seconds doesn't mean you helped us.
Right.
And it's one of those things where he did turn his back on them, and he's never been able to come back and help them out. He kind of looked out for himself and not for them. When it's always been about help out the tribe, not just, you know.
It does have a very pack hunter type mentality, these people.
The whole movie's a metaphor for that.
Yeah, I know it is, but it's surprisingly little wolves. The only wolves we see is in the beginning.
Middle and end.
Well, I mean, when he goes, sees, right, the wolves are eating their young.
Yeah, which was weird because I'm like, was that symbolic later on?
What do you think? yes, it is. I just don't know what it means.
Is that like, at least they're like eating it or something. Could have been the runt of the litter.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's what this mother did in order to escape what is like civilization fringing upon her town.
Really weird.
It's very strange. They want to get away so much that they have this other village. Because remember, after the cave thing and the Vernon decides not to kill his wife for killing his child. Remember? Because at that point, he was still, I guess, he was going to take revenge, I guess. And then he decides not to, right? That she's doing it for an altruistic, different reason. Maybe he discovered that reason when he found this mask. It's almost like the wife was leaving bread trails for him to find out the truth of why she killed the kid. I don't know what it means. I'm just saying, that's what it looked like. And so at the end, they don't kill her. They manage to, I guess, repair or save Jeffrey Wright's life in that town. There's like a weird little settlement there of other people, other Scandinavian-looking people. I noticed they're, you know, them. And cuts to the fucking hospital. He's having that ideally heart-to-heart with his estranged daughter. Cut. What does that mean? It seems like they let him go, but in a bad way. It's like they still respect him enough to let him live. But, like, you can go back to your civilized world, even because he left us the first time, even though he's true Alaskan. Is that even what the movie's about? Is he the lone wolf? They can't let him into the pack. He's not allowed to be with us. We're no longer starving. We ate the young already by killing this kid. Is that the metaphor? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Does any of that make sense?
No.
Nope.
Barely.
Good ramble.
Thank you. I try. You
know. 9 out of 10.
Thank you. No. So what should we talk about then? Because
how this movie is confusing the shit out of us. Maybe we should read the book.
Oh yeah, I saw that it was based off a book. I might read the book honestly,
could understand it.
Yeah, so I can better understand it. At least, you know, more information from the book might be better. But also, like, I won't be surprised if the director just completely wildly did something. You know, they do that all the time. What do we think of the performances overall? Do we like or not this or dislike something more specific? Like when he kills that old man with the mask thing, like did that scene felt wrong to you? Wrong, bad for the movie? Wrong, good?
That when the man. Father killed the guy,
the Vernon guy, yeah.
Vernon was the guy in the kind of like a cave thing. That he met as a child, or
no?
Vernon is the guy we met in Iraq.
Vernon is the main guy. Yeah, the what's it called?
The other main guy.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. The Norse looking guy
from True Blood.
Yeah. They even said a line in the movie where he's like, "You're Norse looking."
Yeah, that's true.
That's why he brought it.
Anyway, I'm just picking something out of a hat. We don't have to talk about that scene. I'm just saying something.
I've already lost. What scene again?
I was talking about, like, what do we think of? Anything specific that we liked or disliked?
That I disliked?
Sure.
Or liked?
The only two options.
Right, of course. I feel like we get this weird flashbacks from our character, from the Vernon, that elude us to tell us where the kind of force us to tell us where the movie's gonna go. With this with the cave, with how much he loves his son. Mm-hmm. That I feel like they do not enough with it. especially with the son thing. It's just supposed to show us that he has this emotion, that he has like strong emotions that his son is dead, and the strong connection that he had with him. But it also felt like what are the odds you had these conversations with your kid also? Like, I'll always be with you while I'm gone. No, you won't. Well, that's like a random conversation.
Yeah.
It felt almost too like on the nose for that kind of thing. And then same thing with that. Like, why do we need the scene where they went to this cave? Like, what's so important? Is that where they made the baby?
I almost feel like it is. I thought that
too. If that's the case, okay, that scene is redemption, right?
Yeah.
That's what I felt. That's what I took out of it, right? Maybe. But we don't know that. Like, we don't.
No, we don't know. It's all like hearsay. I mean, it's all like a thought.
Right, exactly.
It's an idea. Like,
I don't know if his flashbacks are any helpful at all or good for the movie. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like the flashbacks is the weakest link of the movie, only because not just because I don't know why it's doing it, but it's more like I feel like it's doing it because it doesn't know how else to explain
right. This
part of the narrative.
Well, yeah, but I just think it's done in comparison to, I guess, whatever else I'm watching. It's not as done. Yeah. It's not done as well. I suppose.
Yeah,
it's that, I guess that is what.
It almost feels like a different person is doing that.
It does exactly. Too. Yeah. So the other thing I was going to tell you is my theory before I forget.
Yeah,
because you forgot to remind me. My theory was he's a storyteller, right?
Mm-hmm. Who? Core?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Here it comes.
So he's a storyteller.
This is Inception.
And he's writing the book. He's writing stuff the whole time.
Yeah.
Since he's there, right? And then he wakes up at the end and somebody's with him, right? Who's with him?
Daughter.
Okay.
Ideally,
right?
Okay.
I thought it was the wife of, because I thought it looked pregnant, and I thought it was the wife of the officer. But I may be wrong.
She was back.
Huh?
She was back at the end of the movie, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought I was, right?
But it was just kind of like a quick ending.
Mm-hmm.
But he's writing stuff down the whole time. And I think the whole purpose for him being there is to write a narrative, right? It's to give us a narrative to what happened in this crazy and Alaskan thing. That's what he does, right?
Yeah.
So he's taking his truth. But I think we're getting sort of towards the end, his book version or theory, we could be getting his whole book of what happened in it and not just what happened to the actual story. You get what I'm saying?
I mean, ideally, you could even go farther and say that we're getting anything that makes sense in this movie
is
him already pieced together a narrative, because in real life, nothing made sense. He's just trying to make sense out of what he can.
It could be that, right?
Right.
But the only reason I don't bring that up is that in one of the things he's writing down, he changes something. He changes a key thing where he says this girl did this, and then he arranges it to be something else. I forgot what it was, but it was a different fact.
Which girl?
It was a different fact. He wakes up when he was sweating from being sick.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was in the hotel room, and he writes down something, right? But it was a different fact of what happened in the movie that we saw. So it's like he's already changed the narrative.
Is that after? That was after he met Vernon, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, damn, if it was before, then
I want to say it's right after he met Vernon.
Yeah, so he already found the kid.
I want to say so, yes.
Okay. Because if it was before and he hadn't found the kid yet and he was going to go back, no, because he went for the wolf first.
I want to say it's after.
No, you're right.
So the only reason I bring it up is like, I don't know if in the end we're just getting his story, because that's all. Also, that's the only person alive. And this is the person who's telling everything, and he happens conveniently to be in all these scenarios that's happening and everything that happens.
Yeah, at first I thought they were going to do this whole plot thing about the cops not believing him, so because he happens to be there almost, after every death.
I'm just reaching, obviously. Right,
right. Because
He's a storyteller, and he's embellishing something.
That's better than... something stupid.
I like to pull things from things. So
that's as good as any. I mean, for all I know, some of these movies are open to interpretation on purpose.
Right.
But that's a great idea, and I think we should end it on that theory, unless someone has anything else on this movie that they want to mention or they don't want to forget to talk about. Luke, are you okay? Oh, yeah. Rafi just gave me the theory. I think we should end that theory, though.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not.
You're not top.
I can read something online and like rephrase about it. It's still fun.
I think if we discover something cool,
it's
we can talk about it.
It's all grasping at straws.
Yeah. It's an interesting movie to think about and talk about. I want to see what time does it for me. Like, I want to think back on it in a few months and see what I think. So that's Hold the Dark.
I say years, but sure.
Or years. Maybe I'll rewatch it. It's on Netflix, guys. Hold the Dark. You can watch it anytime, anywhere. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review our last film of the evening, which is part of our current Steven Spielberg marathon, a movie called The... Fuck me.
Sugarland Express.
The Sugarland Express. Thank you.
Welfare's come and taken baby Langston forever. They're going to keep him in that foster home.
say, isn't this my shirt?
Baby, when I leave today, you're coming with me.
I can't. I only got four more miles.
Lou Jean and Clovis Poplin.
Oh, baby, we're in real trouble.
Impulsive. Irresponsible.
You know it's illegal to turn right in the middle of the highway?
Out of control.
If I get in that car, you got kidnapped, and that's fact.
But that doesn't mean they don't make wonderful parents.
What are you doing with our man in there?
He's just taking us to Sugar Land to get my boy Langston.
All that stands between them and their child is their nervous hostage.
Don't shoot, that's Captain Tanner. You want to get us all killed?
His commanding officer.
Now you take it easy there and think about what you're doing.
A woman attempts to reunite her family by helping her husband escape prison and together kidnapping their son. But things don't go as planned when they are forced to take a police hostage on the road. The Sugar Land Express, 1974. Directed by the one and only Steven Spielberg.
I think it's Stefan.
Steven Spielberg.
Oh, okay.
All right. This is his first theatrical directorial debut?
Yeah, technically. Theatrical directorial debut.
Directorial debut.
Yes. Technically, yes. Even though he had done three or four TV movies by then, including Duel, of course.
Yes.
One looked like a horror movie that I'm interested in watching, but I don't know. Maybe never. Anyway, his first movie. What did you think, Luke, of his first movie? Technically, his first movie. He knows what to do.
It was not that great.
Yeah, a very young Goldie Hawn in this movie.
Very annoying Goldie Hawn.
Very annoyingly young Goldie Hawn. Kind of reminds me
What's with us hating the blondes in this show?
What's with the what?
Blonde hate. We hated Michelle Williams' character.
Oh, that's right. She is blonde. Or at least, is she in real life too? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Do we hate a blonde in the... Well, the wife was a blonde bitch.
Yeah.
Killed her kid. That's right. Everyone sucks in this.
These blondes are just horrible.
Yeah. It's awful. We just caught on not to
this thing here. We named the show something that's supposed to be called, you know, like Blonde Hate.
Yeah, Three Non-Blondes. Right? Isn't that a band name or something?
Obscure 90s reference, yes.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It sounds familiar. Okay, so I agree, Luke, man. This movie is... The thing is that I'm curious as to how would I have felt if I'd seen this movie in 1974.
Ooh, it's got color.
Right. No. I mean, the actors wouldn't be anything extraordinary because they are new actors back then. Goldie Hawn was not a big star.
So I wasn't sure, like, when...
No, not yet. She becomes a big star later. Especially 80s, 90s, Overboard, right, Ruff? I think that even maybe for back then standards, this movie might have seemed a little too safe, a little too not just predictable, maybe to a true event type scenarios, because there's so many movies like this, Luke. So many movies that are like you think of the fake, you know, what was that very famous Western about the couple that get killed at the end?
Bonnie and Clyde.
That's partly based on true. So you think of Badlands, right? You think of all these movies that have taken true stories of this crazy wilderness thing going on and a chase and stuff, and the really exceptional ones don't look like this movie, and they don't end like this movie, and they don't treat their characters so annoyingly like this movie. This movie's kind of bland, kind of blah. I barely remember it. Like I liked the beginning more because I didn't know where it was gonna go until I started going, and then I was like, eh. And it was overall fine. I mean, it was fine. It's a serviceable movie. I think it's like a funny, like a family movie. Like, I think you could bring a family to this movie.
An obscure family, yeah.
And not an obscure family. For example, like, I'm talking about like a movie of the week, like thing, or like a movie you could have fun with a family, like if you were obviously living in the 70s or 80s or something. I'm not saying like bring them to it now, but even now, I think I can see like families enjoy overall this movie. I mean, the prison system back then was really, really lackluster. Let me tell you that right now. I don't know how prison worked, but damn, it was easy to get out.
Yeah, that had to be like some type of like really, like low like minimum security prison or something.
Yeah, there must be something specific that they don't have anymore, right? Maybe like a combo of jail and community service people. I don't know what it is. It was interesting, though, to watch, because I'm sure everything in this movie was at some point the way life was at some point, right?
We trusted our prisoners not to escape.
It's almost like the most interesting thing about this movie is the fact that it's over 40 years old, you know, or whatever, and I was interested in seeing the differences. I guess that interested me, but that's not the movie's point or anything. The movie was made when this... actually, the movie is technically already a period piece, right? Because it takes place in the 40s, right? Am I right, guys? I forget. What year does this...
1969.
Oh, the events of the movie?
Yeah.
Takes place in 69? Oh, yeah. Only 5 years after... Okay, I guess it doesn't count. But anyway, so my bad. I guess that's the only interesting part, though. It's just the lateness of my watching it. But overall, I do not, really care to recommend this movie, and I'm not sad that I hadn't seen it as part of Spielberg's movies. Ralph?
It's just like you said. It's paint by numbers. No, it really is. I mean, there's nothing fancy schmancy about this movie. What? So I know it was. I like how it was based on true event. Mm-hmm. I wonder what exactly was it that was the true events? Was it obviously, what was it?
In May 2nd of 1969, Robert Dent and Isla Faye Holiday, I guess, kidnapped James Kenneth Crone.
The cop,
yeah. And actually the cop has a cameo in the movie, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's fun. Well, yeah, it's only 5 years after the event of that. And I guess I'm curious how much was it... what state was this in?
Texas.
Texas, thank you.
Come on, how else you could drive for several days and still be in the same state?
That's true. And also that they have the whole thing with the...
Louisiana.
Those ranchers.
Louisiana. Or,
no, those other people, the other yokels who wanted to take them out.
Oh, yeah.
Be heroes and shit. I'm curious to see if this movie's depiction of their fame of the moment of Texas, it happened as the movie depicts it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how true that is, but I'm curious to see if this was like a public loves the outlaw kind of outlook, or was it just
pure... Dude, they fucking love the shit out of them.
In this movie, yes.
Yes.
But I don't know if it was in real life. That's my point. I'm sure there was. I'm curious to see if this movie exploited that more. You know, I don't know. But I don't even want to have a spoiler session for this movie because I feel like it's a movie of its kind. It is a solid genre of it, and the only thing we can really describe is like maybe what's wasn't done as much back then that this is kind of new of for is the idea of bringing in the public to see what their point of view of people are. You know, those kind of movies wasn't a big phenomenon back then. And this might have been one of the first, you know, of its kind to show, like, a biopic of criminals, but criminals that were, you know, that were influenced by newspapers and the media and shit. You know, this might be the first one. I know it's just in one state, and it's all localized, but there's a lot of fandom in the movie.
Yeah, it just feels like a lot of dumb shit happens in this movie that shouldn't happen.
Oh my god, so many dumb people in this movie.
So many.
Mainly the two.
Also,
me too.
Like the illusions of getting away with things, the illusions of
right.
of being able to be like the simple things of like it's only been a day and the guy's already talking about, hey, I want to. What does it take to be a highway patrolman?
Right.
What are you talking about? Like, you're never going to join. And the guy's like...
There's a law there.
If you can't have a criminal record. He's like, oh, I never would have thought of that. Like, what do you mean? Like...
Yeah, there's
a... seemed a little...
Yeah, they're all touched.
I don't know if it's... You know? I don't know if it's... They're supposed to be really, really young. Like, teens or late teens, early 20s.
Right, because back then they did overplay the age a lot. Or underplay the age a lot of
right.
actors.
So, right. I don't know if that's the case. And if that's the case, I totally would get that.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
I wish they actually looked.
You're an idiot anywhere from under 24 and under. You're an idiot. Like, that's the way I see it.
No, I was thinking, like, they have to be 17 or younger for me to believe.
But I'm saying you're 18 or 24 and under. So even 24 is the highest I can put it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking these guys are probably, like, 19 max.
Yeah.
So that's what I was looking. I was thinking, like, they are out of high school, and that's about it. Like, you know.
But the movie doesn't. I don't think the movie shows that.
Yeah, I don't think the movie shows that either. So
they look like their ages. They look older to me.
Right, exactly.
Now, people were made differently back then. I don't know. Too many dumb things happen in this movie. And surprisingly, like, the second they told the cops they were going to Sugarland, like, in the beginning, first act thing, you know, I'm like, why would you tell them where you're going? And for why would you tell them the reason you're going?
Stupid.
The one thing that they could have on you is the drop on you of where you're going. The one thing. If you survive everything else on the planet, which you won't.
Right.
And even the beginning, how this car chase initially started before they kidnapped the cop, was for ridiculous reasons, you know. I mean, that was the most. That's the only stupid thing they did that I could see an innocent. Like, I can see someone mistaking for when they thought that the cop was approaching them and pointed to them not for the state stickers on the car, but because they thought that the old couple was ratting them out. That's the only decision that I can support because that could be taken out of context. The rest of the movie, I can't even have a conversation with them. They have ridiculous things coming out of their brains. I don't. And the movie's trying to make it look or feel or sound like it's a cute thing and that ultimately they're harmless people, but they're wasting countless man hours. I mean, this is today. Their outlaw or their run from the law is the best weekend for a criminal to go crazy. It feels like that's what it was. I feel like whatever robbery or murder happened, because they had 38 cop cars chasing them.
At least.
Right? Yeah, remember that one scene when the kids were counting all the cars?
Yes. That's funny. That was
a good segue. It just made me feel so mad about it. It did not feel endearing or cute or anything. It felt like just blow out the tires and then just shoot. I don't, you know, like... Or just have one person follow them. You don't need everybody on the planet.
I think at one point they're like, we need to send some of our people back. Like, they need help. And like,
bro,
like, there's crime going on.
I just think this movie, it does, like, maybe it's holding its characters too. I mean, they were idiots. If they pulled, if in reality all this really happened, they were morons. But like, maybe some morons are not worth fucking portraying to the silver screen because they're so unbelievably, laughably, I can't relate to them. I'm sorry. I just cannot relate.
Yeah. It did feel dated overall. There's some dumb, funny moments, and it's funny because it's dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, I mean, I can't really... There's not much going on here. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Don't look it up. Don't look it up. I'll explain it to you at the very end.
Oh, okay.
You'll like my reason.
Inside baseball. Okay.
Other than that, yeah, there's nothing fancy in this movie, right?
Yeah.
Am I correct? Besides them getting extremely lucky. Extremely lucky. They had the perfect out, and then we're in spoilers, am I correct?
Yeah.
I mean, no, we're not going to spoil the movie. I just don't think we should give spoilers.
Okay, but they have a complete out, and then they pull themselves back in.
Yeah, I know. I remember.
And I was like, how daft can you be?
Like, how Daffy Duck.
And for a guy who does smart things, like, wait a minute. There's somebody in that toilet, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a smart thing. And that's also early on in the movie. So,
and she did a smart thing with the clothes underneath her clothes thing to get him out.
Right. They do smart things, but they're like, they don't think that one extra step ahead.
But does that, yeah, I guess. I don't, man, I just think we all wish this movie was just more special or at least different. And I think that, you know, we have 40-something years, 30-something years, whatever, of cinema ahead of this movie that have perfected and has shown different angles of this very same genre, even this very same archetype of criminal-like media thing I was describing earlier, that this is just another, like, bland version of it, you know? And I, you know, like, oh, man, that Quincy movie with Denzel Washington. You guys remember that movie? John Quincy?
I never saw it. John Q?
John Q. Sorry, Quincy. Anyway, John Q is a perfect example. That one, I think, is based on true events about this guy who holds up a bank because his or a hospital, I think, because his son is dying and he can't get an operation to save his life.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Remember? And the crowd loves him. Dog Day Afternoon, another fucking amazing movie that does this exact same thing, has a crowd loving them. But guess what? The fucking cops don't love them. It's breaking the law. They're holding people up and shit happens. Those movies do it way better. Way better than, I'm sorry, this one. And I think that's all we're going to give, because I don't think any of us are really going to break our backs recommending this movie for anyone, right? Am I right in assuming?
Yeah.
All right. So, you too.
Other than that, cool car scenes. Cool directing stuff.
He took his dual stuff and
of course he did. Like, there's some really good shots. The director of photography did really good.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Overall, there's some really cool scenes like that.
Yeah.
I like the...
If you want to see Goldie Hawn, you know, a lot of people love Goldie Hawn. Maybe they don't know about this one.
Yeah.
They want to see an origin or a whole Goldie Hawn young role. Watch this one. You know? Because she's definitely not, like, famous at all when this movie came out.
Yeah.
So check it out for those reasons. Otherwise, I would say skip it. And that is our review of the Sugarland Express. And that is our show for this evening. You have been listening to another movie podcast. You can follow me, Oscar, at Armin Filmmaker. That's Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N for Twitter and on Letterboxd. Luke.
You can find my gripes on the Twitters at Slothmaster Luke.
Gripes. And Ralph?
Very nice. You can follow me on Twitter at GamerRalph. Yeah. That's about it.
Okay.
I have other things, but I don't want to get
into it. Remember, if you want to send feedback to our show, you can always do so at podmoviecast@gmail.com. Tell us what you think of these movies, especially Hold the Dark. I want to hear theories. See if you can top Rob's theory, which I really enjoy.
I always come up with something.
Remember, good. We come out... Yeah, no, that was nice. We come out every other weekend. Next time, Rolf, you are picking the films. Actually, all three are yours.
All three
time,
are mine, yeah.
Right.
Go figure.
So, what are they?
What are the odds, right? So, yes. We're going to be reviewing Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
The latest installment, Halloween.
Yes.
Not the Halloween.
Low-key, are you excited? No? Yes? No?
I am.
Okay.
Low-key.
Me too.
Mainly because... my girl Jamie Lee Curtis is back in.
Dude, fuck yes.
So,
Training Places.
This is directed by David Gordon Green, if anybody knows who that is.
I do.
Cool. He directed Joe, I think, right?
Yeah, Joe. The thing with that thing.
The thing with that thing. Okay, the other one is Apostle, is a Netflix original movie.
Oh.
Directed by Gareth Evans.
Gareth Evans, is that the dude who did the Raid movies?
It is.
Oh, fuck yes.
So.
Is it an action movie?
We'll find out. I'll give you a quick synopsis. A man attempts to rescue his sister, who's been kidnapped by a religious cult.
Done. I'm watching the
cool.
shit out of that.
There you
movie.
Go.
Watch
it twice. I'm glad I found something.
Yes.
And then our marathon pick is Twilight Zone, the movie.
The movie.
The
Not
movie.
The entire Netflix.
Now,
thing.
I'm going to give a quick caveat to this because I had to mention it from last time because me and Oscar talked about it.
Yes.
Steven Spielberg does not direct the whole thing, he directs one of the episodes. Of the
one,
Twilight Zone
one of
movies.
Three, I
one
think?
Of three.
Okay,
yeah. If I'm correct, now I don't have it in front of me because I'm an idiot.
It's like an anthology movie, like VHS or like Four Rooms. If anyone remembers that movie,
yeah. So it's but the directors are Dan Aykroyd.
Really?
Kidding. No, Joe Dante, John Landis, George Miller, and Steven Spielberg.
George Miller. And John Landis collaborated on a movie in Twilight Zone.
There's four, yeah.
I got more excited for this movie.
There you go.
I got legit more excited.
So, for this review, we will be reviewing the whole movie, of course, because the whole movie is what we're watching. But we will try to focus more on Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, we'll definitely zero in on that, but we'll talk about the whole movie.
More than likely, knowing Oscar and I, we'll probably be kind of geeking out of the other ones.
I will. George Miller, yes.
Cool.
So,
and I try to keep it Halloween themed here. Or
yes, at Twilight Zone, believe it or not, that kind of fits Halloween.
Twilight Zone fits.
Yes,
Halloween obviously fits.
This.
And this Apostle movie looks like it should fit. It's a horror mystery thriller.
I mean,
so listen,
Gareth Evans.
Listen,
definitely.
I try to. I did my best here.
No, you succeeded. I enjoy it. So that's it, guys. Until then, I am Oscar,
Ralph,
and Luke.
Lates.
Coffee and pie.
Coffee and pie. Oh my.
You didn't hear it from me.